the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. By this sign ye shall conquer. These holy words spoken from heaven came down to the Emperor Constantine in the 4th century. Responding to this message, the emperor commanded that the shields of his soldiers be emblazoned with the Holy Cross, with the victorious words, Jesus Christos ni ka, or Jesus Christ conquers. It was under the sign of the Holy Cross that the emperor overcame his earthly adversaries and paved the way for the spread of the Holy Orthodox faith throughout the Byzantine Empire and later throughout the world. Divine truths remain eternal truths, and in the glory of the cross we find our own victory over sin, temptations, the demons, and death. In the Holy Orthodox Church, the Holy Cross is celebrated with a great and triumphant proclamation of victory over all the adverse powers. When we stitch together some of the phrases from the services for today's feast, the picture is awesome. The cross is the weapon of peace around which angels stand in fear. Thrice blessed, life-bearing, all-holy tree, guardian of the whole earth, beauty of the church, invincible trophy, triumph of godliness, adversary of demons, wounder of demons, protection and boast of the faithful, strength of Orthodox Christians, unshakable safeguard, mighty protection, hope of Christians, support of the suffering, adornment of venerable saints, preservation of all the saints, glory of the apostles, glory of the martyrs, glory of the angels, champion of the righteous. Truly grace-filled is the Holy Cross. We make the sign of the cross over our bodies during prayer, over our food before meals, over our children before they go to sleep, over the baptismal waters, imbuing them with the Holy Spirit and making them hostile to all adverse powers, and over every object sanctified by the prayers of the church. When we bless ourselves, we hold three fingers together in remembrance of the Holy Trinity, and our remaining two fingers are pressed against our palm, calling our attention to Christ's two natures, the human and the divine. Blessing ourselves with the sign of the cross, we preach the Orthodox faith while worshiping the Holy Trinity and proclaim the incarnation of the only begotten Son of God in the flesh. When we make the sign of the cross over our food, we call on the Holy Spirit to sanctify the meal, and grace descends in such force to render even that which is poisonous harmless to believers. Consider the martyrdom of St. Victor of Damascus. His executioners, helpless to defeat this valiant struggler for Christ, forced him to swallow meat which had been poisoned by a sorcerer. After praying and making the sign of the cross over the meat, the martyr Victor swallowed it. And everyone was amazed as they witnessed a miracle. He remained completely unharmed, fulfilling once again that which the Lord had promised to his disciples, saying, "And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." The scriptures teach us that we are all a royal priesthood in Christ, and the province of blessings is not limited to the clergy, but is shared with the laity. From ancient times till now, parents bless their children, protecting them from visible and invisible enemies, and entrusting them to God's mercy. In the wedding ceremony, we hear, "The prayers of parents make firm the foundation of houses." From the Old Testament, we recall the patriarch Isaac blessing his two sons, Esau and Jacob. The blessings of the Lord are granted to children by the fervent prayers of devoted parents. The Old Testament, in fact, abounds with images of the Holy Cross. In the book of Exodus, we hear how Moses stretched out his hands over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back, opening the way for the Hebrews to escape the wrath of the Egyptians. And our fathers tell us he did so in a cross-like manner. Later, when the Hebrews fought the Amalekites, when Moses' arms were again lifted in the form of a cross, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his arms, the Amalekites prevailed. Or again, during the crossing of the desert to the Promised Land, another foreshadowing of the cross saved the Hebrews from the serpent's poisonous bite in the form of the bronze serpent being lifted up on high, just as Christ was lifted up, becoming a curse for us. When Adam and Eve fell into sin and were evicted from paradise, all creation was cursed for their sake. However, by the power of the cross, when we bless the world and its inhabitants, be they children, be it food, water, bread, oil, houses, cars, fields, we are reclaiming them and bringing them into their proper place in creation, restoring them to the blessedness which was marred by the fall. Considering the Holy Cross and the source of its strength, Jesus Christ, it seems obvious that when Christianity came to the Holy Byzantine Empire, the pious Empress Helen would seek out the true cross. Coming to Jerusalem in her imperial splendor, she diligently sought out the cross. Hearing of its resting place in an old Roman cistern, she stood on a raised platform and threw gold coins where the workers were digging to encourage them to dig even faster. The workers, as we most of us know, though, however, did not find one cross, but three. One of these was the true cross, but which one? By God's providence, a funeral procession was near, and the bishop accompanying the empress commanded that the procession pause. The dead man was taken from his bier, wrapped in grave clothes, and placed on the crosses, first one, then the second, before finally being placed on the third cross, where that man was resurrected by the might of the true cross. And this is why we call it the life-giving cross, for it gives life not only to that man, but to each of us who believe in the sacrifice of Christ for us on the cross and in his all-glorious resurrection on the third day. The multitude of people who had flocked to see the Empress were astounded by this miracle and struggled vainly to see the cross of the Savior. The bishop then commanded that the true cross be raised up on high, elevated so that everyone could see it, becoming the foundation of this feast of the elevation of the cross, which has been celebrated in the church each year since that day on September 14th in the year 335. All gifts from God, brothers and sisters, are given to us for our salvation. And I pray we may all continue to bless the world around us and to overcome all evil by the victorious sign of the precious cross. The cross, an instrument of torture, an instrument of shame, has become the glory of the entire church. As we read in today's epistle, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And again we read, we preach Christ crucified. In other words, we preach that the Messiah, the Savior of Israel, the great King come to put all things to right, not only in Israel, but to subdue the nations under his feet. This leader, this promised one, this Christ or Messiah, we preach that he conquered all, not by immediately setting up an earthly kingdom, but by allowing himself to apparently be conquered, by voluntarily offering himself up to death, by tricking the devil in a brilliant plot, the most brilliant plot twist in history, by absorbing and taking onto and into himself all of the evil and pain and misery that the serpent had brought into the world. And with that tyrant had stained the bodies and souls of the sons of men and brought us all into a most feeble bondage to sin and death. The very beings God had fashioned for his own family. And yes, worst of all, that tyrant bound a creation made for immortality to death, a permanent separation from God, who is life. But did God sit by and let that happen? Did he allow the best part of his creation to remain defeated and conquered? No, he came and defeated the devil by the devil's own playbook. He defeated death by his own innocent death. He defeated sin and conquered the tyrant by the tyrant's own weapon, the cross, by which the devil thought he had won. This is why the cross is so powerful. The devil cannot stand it. What was meant to be a sign of dishonor for Jesus of Nazareth, for this great prophet, or whoever he was, according to the devil, became the sign of dishonor for this fallen angel. It burns him, and it reminds him of his utter failure to defeat life. So, brothers and sisters, let us embrace not only the emblem of the cross, but let us also bear the crosses that our Lord allows in our lives as our participation in his master plan of absorbing and removing all evil from our own hearts and from the world. Let us embrace both the cross and our crosses, not for an instant losing hope in the great and eternal truth that the Holy Church proclaims on this holy day. Through the cross, joy has come into all the world. And through our crosses, joy also comes into the world. Through the cross, Christ is defeating evil and all the evil plans of the wicked. So let us embrace both the cross and our crosses. As the world flounders in its madness, let us be as steadfast as our Lord in facing every trial, knowing that even if the devil kills us, he cannot harm us. Let us be steadfast in faith and hope, and let us allow the Lord to heal us by the crosses he permits in our lives, and let us be healed, and let us walk with great courage and confidence, proclaiming the good news of our faith, even with our very lives, remembering that many souls are brought to repentance, even from the madness of this world, by the steadfast faith of the faithful and of the martyrs. And let us each be a part of Christ's great mission to save his creation. To the glory of God. Amen.